This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What is Azad? You left? Yeah, Azad. By the way, those who are used to sit on the sides from the old masjid, they need to pick a new habit. They can sit on this wall here so they can put their back against the wall and these pillars. Azad today, Muhammad and a couple of others not used to that, so I'm just letting you guys know you can do that. And make sure that you remove these chairs so you can use the wall to sit against them. Yeah, as long as there's people need you. Just as an option for you. Because I hate some people sit on the floor and they tell me later on, oh, we got sick and, you know, the floor is cold and I got back problems. يلا بسم الله اقرأ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه اجمعين وعن ابي هريره رضي الله عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الاتصال فقال
ثم رأوا الهلال ثم رأوا
كالمنكل لهم حين أبوا أن ينتهوا متفق عليه. Narrated Abu Hurairah radiyallahu an, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade continuous fasting, and a man said, "You fast continuously, O Messenger of Allah." He replied, "Who of you is like me? During the night, my Rabb gives me food and drink." When they refused to stop the continuous fasting, he fasted with them for a day and then another day. Then they saw the moon. He then said, "If the new moon had not appeared, I would have made you fast more." He seemed to want to punish them when they refused to stop. Agreed upon.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu ba'd. This hadith al-Bukhari, min hadith Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, in relation to a concept called al-wisal, which is you continue fasting after Maghrib. You don't break your fast at Maghrib. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, qala rajulun min al-muslimin. So a man among the Muslims said, among the companion, a man said, unknown, we don't know who that person is. And that what we call in science of hadith, al-mubham. Al-mubham, yani someone who is unknown, been mentioned in the text, not as a narrator, but as part of the story. So we don't know who that person is. And al-ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala, this is very loud. Al-ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala wrote books on these on those people who are mentioned in the stories and never name been mentioned who they are exactly. So al-ulama rahimahullah wrote books to explain who that person is. And among the famous books written in this regard, a book by Imam al-Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala, al-anba' al-muhkama fi al-asma' al-mubhama, mentioning all these narrations that mention someone did, she did, he did, he asked. We don't know who that companion was, so this book will explain to you who that person is. As well as other ulama, rahimahumullah, said that, as we might come across later on. So this person has never been mentioned by his name or her name. Why? Why do you think sometimes the narrator will not mention the name of the person? He might said something not like, not appropriate. So mentioning his name will be kind of negative, you know, and criticism. And they don't want to do that. And here in this hadith, actually it is. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not continue your fast. Then this person come and argue, said, no, we want. But you, Ya Rasulullah, fast continuously. We want to be like you. So this person sounds like someone who's argued with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is this a positive thing or negative thing? Negative. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum don't like to mention the negative actions of each other's. And that shows you the quality of those great men and women and the narrators, that they don't expose each other. So if some of them did something bad, they don't mention his name. They just make him anonymous. So he will not be exposed. And that's a very good akhlaq, very good manners. Also, sometimes it could be an exposure of something not appropriate. Like the hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil Bukhari, that he was once traveling with one of his wives. In narration, never said which wife. Why? Because while they are walking, the camel tripped. So his wife fell off the camel and got exposed. And Talha and Anas, they saw this and they saw the Prophet ﷺ fall on the floor injured. So what do you think the Sahaba did? Immediately they run to the Prophet ﷺ, because the safety of Rasulullah ﷺ is number one priority. So when they came to the Prophet ﷺ, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال دونكم المرأة دونكم المرأة. Even the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't mention who she is. Even if he mentioned who she is, he doesn't want to expose her because she fall off and expose. So he said, the woman, cover the woman, cover the woman. Talha said, I took my rida, my izar, sorry, the upper garment. I put it on my face like this. Then I start walking towards her. And when I heard her voice, I threw it on her to cover her. I said, cover yourself. When she covered, I basically rushed, made sure she's okay. Then I rushed back to the Prophet ﷺ. So until now, we don't know who that woman is. They never mention her name. Why? Because they don't want to expose her. Maybe something improper happened to the person, so they don't want to expose that person. Anyway, so this man, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, أَنْتَ تُوَاصِلْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, you continue fasting. So the Prophet said to them, do not continue your fast. But this man came and said, Ya Rasulullah, but you continue. Then he said, and who is among you like me? I spend the night. Yes, I didn't eat anything in the night. But Allah provide food and drinks for me. So they insisted in the process of that. Ya Rasulullah, we want to continue fasting. We want to be like you. Fasting, there is a great reward in it. Okay, so we want to fast more. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you want more? Okay, fast. You want more? Tomorrow. No breaking fast. So now, can you imagine, 48 hours, nothing. You want more? Let's fast. Then they saw the new moon. The Eid comes on third night. He said, if the Hilal wasn't seen, I would have continued just to teach you a lesson. كَالْمُنَكِّلِ لَهُمْ. And he reprimanding me, he was angry at them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith in al-Bukhari wa Muslim. وفي رواية البخاري قال, لو مد بي الشهر لواصلت وصالا يدعو المتعمقون تعمقهم. If the month would have continued, I would have continued forcing you and pushing you to fast with me continuously for the rest of the whole month until you learn the lesson. Never ever be strict and mutaammiq, yani someone who is going deep or going beyond that what is easy. So I will not going to let you be so strict upon yourself, like until you learn your lesson, never act like this again. طيب. When he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told them, Allah provide food and drinks for me. Al-ulama rahimahullah said, what this means? It means that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, literally, Allah give him food and drinks. Some ulama said, yes, Allah bring him food and drinks from Jannah. That he feed him and he quench his thirst with water from Jannah and food from and fruits from Jannah. But this opinion, in my opinion, is not a very strong one. Why? Because if in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam literally eat from Jannah and drink from Jannah, he would not be fasting. And the whole point that they want to continue fasting, can yasum sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it wouldn't be, literally, you can call him fasting person. But what that means, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide food and drink. I replace the effect of food and drink on the body by providing him certain high spirituality, providing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a connection, a special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he doesn't think about these materialistic things anymore. That he's so into the ibadah, so into the dua, so into the dhikr, so into the hereafter, that he doesn't feel the pain of the dunya. He doesn't need what people need in this dunya anymore. It's like when you hear the story, Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, just, this is an example of something beyond, way, way beyond the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or less than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Bukhari yusalli, enjoying his salah so much. He realized later on that he was stung by a scorpion several times. قَالْ وَاللَّهِ أَلْهَتْنِي قِرَاءَتِي لِلْقُرْآنِ عَنْهَا. I didn't even felt it because I was reading Qur'an. So sometimes when you are spiritually so high, so connected, you don't even feel what normal people feel. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here saying that Allah provide me what as a replacement, like a food and drink, but not physical, not tangible like what you have in this dunya, but something very different. Also, al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like, not like us, in a sense, his strength. فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أُعْطِيَ قُوَّةَ 30 رَجُلًا وَقِيلْ 40 رَجُلًا. His strength equal to 30 men, 40 men, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, when it comes to الطاعة والعبادة. قيل أنه أعطي قوة 30 رجلا على الطاعة. أعطي قوة 40 رجلا على الطاعة. This person is basically be giving the strength of 30, 40 man when it comes to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he used to pray in the night long prayer. Not average person can do. That's something special about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's body that is not shared by others. So that's why he was able to fast several days continuously without drinking or eating. In the early time in Islam, النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, in the early time in Islam, if a person miss iftar time, you miss iftar time, you cannot eat until next day. If Maghrib comes and you don't break your fast, you cannot eat until next day. In the beginning of the ruling. So a man was sleeping after Asr. He said to his wife, wake me up for iftar. He overslept. And he was so tired already at Asr. So when he missed iftar, he said, wayli, yani what a loser I am today. Fasted by the, no suhoor, nothing in the night. By the midday, he fell unconscious. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the rule, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ بِخَيْطُونَ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. Allah tell them to eat from the time of the, they can recognize the light of the morning, from the night, from the darks of the night, until the brightness of the fajr. So the whole night they can eat and do whatever they want. So we know that it's hard for people. So for some people to say we want to continue the fasting, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want to teach them the lesson by let them fast for several days. So what's the ruling in regard to continuing fasting? Al-Qawl al-Awwal, the first opinion, it is forbidden. And that's Abu Hanifa rahimahullah's opinion, and Malik and Shafi. And if you fast after Maghrib, you committed a sin, because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade them from fasting. And because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered us, a clear order, to hasten to iftar. Okay? And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the night comes from here, and the day goes from there, the daytime goes from there, إِذَا أَقْبَلَ اللَّيْلُ مِنْ هَاهُنَا وَأَدْبَرَ النَّهَارُ مِنْ هَاهُنَا أَفْطَرَ الصَّائِمُ. The fasting person's, his fast ended. So that's, because of that, the ulama said, خلاص. It means it's forbidden. Al-Hanabila يقولون, no. It is disliked, but it's not haram. How? Why Al-Hanabila would say it's not forbidden? It's only disliked. قالوا بالكراهة. Why? قالوا, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused for them to continue their fast, rahmatan bihim, out of mercy, to make it easy on him. So that description, out of mercy, out of rahmah, it means not something must. It just recommended. Number two, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, let's fast. Didn't the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let them fast continuously a day and two? Didn't he do that? That's right. If continuing fasting is haram, would the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let them do the haram? Al-Hanabila said no. You can make them do the makruh, but not the haram. So they said, since the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let them fast with him continuously two nights, that means it is only makruh. And he made the point that you should not do that. There is a third opinion based on a narration, and I believe Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned that, and what's one wajh in the Shafi'iyya, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they kept asking him and begging him, حتى أذن لهم بالوصال إلى أكلة السحر. He allowed them to continue fast until suhoor time. So you break your fast and at suhoor time, at 3 a.m. So it's not a joke anymore if you find someone said, I'm fasting in the night. It can be not a joke. Okay? So, but is this good thing to do? No. The best thing is to break your fast at Maghrib. And I don't think I need to spend much time on this, because I don't think anyone here planning to fast after Maghrib. But closer to this, there is an issue, which is hunger strike. Is hunger strike allowed? Because that means you're not going to eat or drink, okay, continuously. So if the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the companions from continuing their fast, can we derive from this rules to what known today as hunger strike? Just for the record, hunger strike is not something new. It is something known in history. And Sahih Muslim, the famous story, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, when his mother said, قالت والله لا أطعم طعاما ولا أشرب شرابا حتى تترك دين محمد. She said, والله I will not drink anything, I will not eat anything until, and I will not stay in the shade until you leave Muhammad's religion. Then he told her, يا أما لو كانت لك مئة نفس منفوسة خرجت نفسا نفسا. If you have 100 souls that I see them departing your body one after another, يعني you die 100 times, I'm not going to leave this religion. And he's known to be very good to his mom. What do you guys think of Sa'd's reply to his mother? Was good? Was good? I forgot, you're fasting. Was good or not? Good. Do you think it's rude? Do you think it's not appropriate? Do you think there is any comment need to be made on it? Allah did. Allah revealed verses in the Quran that we recite until today. وَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ ihsan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to be good to our parents. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Al-ulama rahimahullah said that Allah, after this, he ordered Sa'd and the rest of the Muslim to be good to the parents. Yani not because you are firm in your deen and you're saying, no, I'm not. Then make this lose that softness in your heart toward your mother or toward your parents. Anyway, al-ulama al-mu'asireen have two opinions about hunger strike, the modern scholars. First group said it's not allowed. Why? Because if the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid continue fasting in Ramadan, because it harms, because it's not healthy, it's not good, it's dangerous, the same thing we can do it for any political reasons that you or stands you might take. Also they said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَلْقُوا بِأَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. Do not cause what cause, do not take yourself to thing that will cause destruction. And don't kill yourself. And by not eating and drinking, that can kill you. Also they said, because this is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ. You cannot harm yourself. This is general rules in Sharia. And by hunger strike, you're harming yourself. To the extent that you cannot do certain active worships. Like what? Standing in the salah. You have seen some of the brothers and sisters who go on hunger strike, or some prisoners. They can't even stand up anymore. So weak. They put tube in their mouth. They sit. So they put themselves in a state that they cannot stand up for the salah. They cannot make sujood. They cannot make salah sometimes even. Or dua or anything like that. And they said this has no basis in religion. Yani it is not something came from Islam or Muslims. So that's why they closed that door. There is another group of scholars said it is permissible. It is allowed. And among them, Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi, hafidhahullah, and Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, and also some modern scholars like Sheikh Salman al-Uda and Sheikh Nasir al-Umar, and some of the students of knowledge and ulama of our time as well, they said it is permissible. What's their proof? They said, because this method, sometimes it is the only effective message and loud voice can heard when it comes to people who are treated unjustly. Like many of the prisoner, Palestinian prisoner in the Israeli prisons, nobody will ever hear about them if they didn't make the hunger strike. In Guantanamo, we wouldn't hear about so many of what's going on there, a violation of human rights, if they didn't go in hunger strike. So many of what's happening in the Iraqi government, the Egyptian government today, and all the abuse that they do to their prisoners would never be heard if they didn't go to hunger strike. If they pray all night making dua and making sujood, that will not help the case. But this hunger strike made people force, and that's reality. The reality is the case became getting attention, public attention. So they said that since this maqsad is correct, this goal is correct and acceptable in Sharia, so the wasilah also should take the same ruling. Since there is nothing to forbid this particular method. And they said, yes, we know that don't kill yourself and all these things, but this is in the normal situation, not in a situation like this. But what's interesting, that those scholars put a cap. قَالُوا بِشَرْطْ أَلَّا يُؤَدِّي إِلَى الْإِضْرَارِ بِهِمْ. فَأَنَا قُلْتْ يعني لما وضعوا هذا الشرط أفسدوا كل المسألة. They put a condition, those scholars said, with the condition that you do not harm yourself. I said, if you add this condition, you don't harm yourself, you contradict yourself. That's right, because you cannot go to hunger strike without harming yourself. For the sisters, they can come in the same as yesterday if they want. Okay, so if they cannot, hunger strike definitely will harm you. But it should not harm you in a way that it will cause maybe death or near death. That's maybe that's what is some of the ulama might be better if you put it that way. I don't have a choice in this issue personally. I don't have fatwa in regard to it. I don't have to. But I just wanted to be aware there is two respected opinion among the ulama in this area. And I just presented to you everybody's perspective. This hadith shows you that the default rules that we all should share the same rules in Islam. That's why the Sahaba said, Ya Rasul, since you continue fast, we should continue fast. Okay? And that defeat that idea that some saints, some shuyukh, some people special should have special worship, special ibadah, special this, special that. You know, this concept is not correct. Unless there is a proof for the Prophet ﷺ to make him distinguish from others. Also, it shows you some special quality of the Prophet ﷺ that he is not like the rest of the humanity when it comes to the ability to fast several days without eating or drinking. Also, the hadith shows us the permissibility of muraja'at al-alim wa su'ali, that it is okay to ask the scholar, to ask the mufti, to challenge the speaker. He said, Ya Rasulullah, and you continue fast. So why can't we? He asked. There's nothing wrong. Some people, for them, the shuyukh or the mufti or the person said something, it's like khalas, Quran munazzil. It's like a Quran. No. You can ask and you can basically question and say, what's the proof for that, as long as it is with good manners. Like what the Sahabi did. Next hadith.
وعنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
عنه يعني أبي هريرة it means أبو هريرة said
من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به والجهل فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه رواه البخاري وأبو داود واللفظ له narrated أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said If one does not abandon falsehood and action in accordance with it and foolishness, Allah has no need that he should abandon his food and drink. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Abu Dawood.
Say it again in English.
Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, If one does not abandon falsehood and action in accordance with it and foolishness, Allah has no need that he should abandon his food and drink. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Abu Dawood.
This hadith, Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah reported in his book Al-Adab and Abu Dawood. In a very interesting chapter, Abu Dawood reported this hadith in the chapter of Babu Al-Ghibah Lissa'im. He said, this is the chapter in regard to backbiting for the fasting people. The brother read the hadith twice. Did you hear in this hadith anything has to do with ghibah, with backbiting? No. He said, if you don't leave azur, falsehood, saying what's false, what's lie. Azur, it means lie. If you don't leave, if you don't stop lying, okay? Azur, lying, and also you don't stop acting with ignorance, jahl, and you act or whatever act associate with ignorance and lying and falsehood, there is no need for you to leave your food and drink. But Abu Dawood reported this hadith under the chapter of Babu Tarkul Ghibah Lissa'im, when the fasting person should not backbite. Why? Because azur, falsehood, okay, or lying, can manifest it in many ways. And one of it is al-ghiba. So the worst form of act of ignorance, the worst form of act, or the most common, not worst, common way of practicing ignorant or act of ignorance or act of zur, falsehood, is through backbiting. So that's why Abu Dawood rahimahullah put it under that chapter or under that title, because it happened a lot. That's why Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, لو كان كل ما اغتاب رجل رجلا وهو صائم أفطر ما بقي أحد صائما. He said, if every person backbites someone during Siyam, that means that your Siyam is invalid. It means no one will be left fasting. Most of us, our fast will be invalid. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah never backbite, by the way, or he's not a backbiting person. But he's saying the reality of people. The reality is people will do these kind of sins. But he wants to say that it doesn't mean that it will break your fast completely or invalidate your fast. Anyway, let's go back to the hadith. Those who do not leave, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ يَدَعْ يعني يترك, leave. مَا وَدَعْ مَا وَدَعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى أو مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى يعني he didn't leave you. So, leave what? Az-zur, which is lying. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ az-zur, do not witness lies. وَلَا يَشْهَدُونَ az-zur, they don't be in a gathering of zur, which is there is lies in it. Okay? And among that is to give a false testimony. Or to give a false statement. To sell, to buy in the court. So it's all about basically lying. Ignorant, the act of ignorance. What ignorant? Ignorant is that it is ignorant here means the opposite of knowing, knowledge. Al-jahl is the opposite of knowledge. Ignorant, the opposite of knowledge. No. Because being ignorant of something while you are fasting doesn't affect your fast. So al-jahl here is the opposite of al-hilm, the opposite of good manners. The opposite of patience. Al-jahl, it means when you don't have self-control. Like what he said in the famous poetry, you remember the story, I don't know if you know the story or not. One of the Arabs was invited by one of the king in Iraq. So while they're sitting, the mother of that poet, and he's a master of his tribe, his mother was humiliated by that king's mother. Why? The king's mother told her, serve me the grapes. And for the Arabs, if you're a guest, you don't serve. You should be served. It's a disrespect to be asked to serve if you're a host, if you're a guest. So she said, Wa Amrah, Wa Khiziyah, Oh Amr, oh, we are humiliated. He took the sword and he cut off the head of the king in front of his own people. He knew that his mom is humiliated. He would never tolerate that. And while the blood gushing, he said this beautiful poet that later on written and hanged inside the Kaaba. أَلَا لَا يَجْهَلَنَّ أَحَدٌ عَلَيْنَا فَنَجْهَلُ فَوْقَ جَهْلِ الْجَاهِلِينَ If someone act with ignorance with us, we are more ignorant toward us. ملأنا البر حتى ضاق عنا وماء البحر نملأه سفينة إذا بلغ الفطام لنا صبي تخر له الجبابرة ساجدين. He said, we filled the land with our tribe and our horsemen, and we filled the sea with our merchant and business, you know, trade and sailing everywhere. When our child finish his breastfeeding, start eating, that's the time when the rulers and the kings and the great men of the world make sujood to him. Yani the moment you finish breastfeeding, you became a great king, great man, that you deserve that people will make sujood to you. It's a long poetry, long, a lot of lines. So this is how ignorant this is. It just said something bad to your mom, you killed the poor guy. This ignorant, no self-control. So when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not leave ignorant, it means you don't leave that if you don't have a good self-control over yourself. And we see during Ramadan, sometimes we lose it. ما عندنا قدرة على ترك الجهالة. You will lose it with our friends, with our family, with our co-workers, with people who work for you. You know, while you're driving your car, and all this because sometimes you can't control yourself or your reaction. There is people during Ramadan cannot control the reaction. And when you don't control your reaction, you cause a lot of trouble for yourself. And you cause a lot of problem with others as well. طيب. So this hadith telling us that the fasting person should watch what they say, what they do, should have a good control over themselves as they prevent themselves from eating and drinking during fasting. They should prevent themselves also from saying what is evil or bad. Question. طب if somebody didn't, somebody lied, somebody backbite, somebody did all these evil things, would that invalidate his or her siyam? The Jumhur al-Ulama, rahimahumullah, the majority of the ulama said, no, it will reduce your reward, but it will not invalidate your fasting. Except al-Imam al-Awza'i, al-Imam Ibrahim al-Nakhai, al-Imam Ibn Hazm, said if you do that, that will invalidate your siyam, and your siyam is invalid. So you have some ulama took that literally and said that will invalidate the siyam. But that's not correct. That's why Imam Ahmad said, if every ghiba will invalidate your siyam, nobody will be fasting. All people with the siyam will be invalid. But he meant that, rahimahullah ta'ala, just to show that it does not invalidate, but it will reduce your siyam. Also, in one of the narration, if someone curse you, somebody act with ignorance with you, you should say, inni sa'im, I'm fasting. But al-ulama rahimahullah said, don't say I'm fasting out of arrogance. Oh, I'm fasting, you know, I'm higher than you. Because if you do that, you become like him. No, it means you say I'm fasting as a reminder for him to control himself. So when you say to some, ya jama'at al-khair, it's siyam, we are fasting. So, you know, I'm fasting, so please. It's kind of a reminder for the person to control himself or herself. The next hadith, go ahead. No, it's sahih. In the chapter of Al-Adab. في باب النهي عن قول الزور. He reports it under in a book it's called Al-Adab in his sahih. And the chapter, the sub-chapter is forbidding saying what is falsehood.
وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبل وهو صائم ويباشر وهو صائم ولكنه كان أملككم لإربه متفق عليه واللفظ لمسلم وزاد في رواية في رمضان. Narrated Aisha رضي الله عنها that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to kiss and fondle while he was fasting, but he was the one amongst you who had the most control over his sexual desires. Agreed upon. Another version of Muslim has an addition during Ramadan.
Yeah. This hadith Aisha radiallahu anha, in the end she said, and he is the one who have the most control over his, the brother read it, irbih. طيب, which is correct with sukun. But also there is another way to be narrated, it was narrated and pronounced, li'arabih. بالفتح. What's the difference? With sukun, it means sexual desire. Arab, it means his genital. Okay? But the way he read it is the most appropriate one, and we prefer that narration over the other one. Why? Because it is more respectful. Okay? Irbih. So that's more respectful to refer to the sexual desire than to refer to the genital itself, and he control over his genital penis. This is wouldn't be the most appropriate way of describing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in the end of the day, both have the same meaning, which is controlling his sexual desire. Yes, it is reported by Bukhari or Muslim, and in one narration it says, in Ramadan. And another narration also, that he used to kiss one of his wives while he's fasting, and she used to laugh. Tadhak. You know, they would laugh with each other. It shows you how close they are to each other. They kiss each other while they're laughing, smiling together. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this woman is Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, as was mentioned in one of some of the ahadith. So what kissing, we understand what kissing is. But what about yubashir? The word yubashir, literally it means touch. He translated it bundling. Is that what he translated? Huh? Fondling. Yubashir in Arabic language means touch. But touch in Quran could mean sexual intercourse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Do not have intimate, don't intimate with them while you're in the masjid, making itikaf. فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُهُنَّ, which after Maghrib, okay, you can يعني touch them, it means sleep with them. وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. So, is that what it means here? That the Prophet ﷺ used to intimate, have a sexual intercourse with his wife while he's fasting in Ramadan? Absolutely no. By consensus, by ulama rahimahullah, that's not what meant. Idan al-mubashara here means what? Al-mubashara here, it means touching. In a touching, it gives you, there is a sexual meaning behind it, which it means the hugging, the kissing, the holding. Okay? So that's what this word here means. But that's why she followed up by saying, but he's the one who have the most control over her sexual desire. Also, the word mubashara, touching, in Arabic language, means skin against skin without something in between. لا تكون المباشرة بحائل. المباشرة في لغة العرب, it means skin against skin. So that means basically his skin touching her. He touched her hand, he put his hand in her back, مثلاً, or her stomach, or her neck, which she's not covered. Her neck or her back. طيب. So al-irb, okay, wal-arb, as I said, it could mean the desires, okay, or al-irb, it means the genital, al-arb is the desire, al-irb is the genital, or the body part, which is referring to the penis, and as I said, the first one is much better, which is the sexual desire. But what's the ruling in regard to kissing while you're fasting? Can you go back of this class, kiss your wife while you're still fasting, and she is fasting? The first opinion, it is permissible for the person to kiss his wife, to, you know, touch her, hold her, you know, as long as they know that this will not lead them to intercourse. They know they can't control. They know stop, where to stop. That's why when a man said, Ya Aisha, what is allowed for me from my wife? قالت كل شيء إلا فرجها. Everything in her except her private part. That's thing you cannot touch. So anything else, you can. And when النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked, أيقبل الصائم? This is interesting. With the fasting person, can kiss? He said, ask this. Ask her. And he referred to Umm Salama. Then he went to Umm Salama and said, can he kiss? He said, he kissed me while he's fasting and I'm fasting. She answered the man. So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred, he said, ask her. Yani, to give you the answer in a very practical way. أنا أتعجب من هذه القصة. I'm always surprised by this narration and similar to this. How this society is so pure and how the relationship between men and women is so casual in a sense and very respectful as well. Today somebody came to me after Adhur telling me, Sheikh, يعني how come I walk and I see woman? I say, wallahi, this is exactly how it is said. Somebody was saying, how can I walk and I see woman? I said, what do you want to see? I mean, what that means? Like, it is there's people kid are strange. As if يعني هؤلاء مخلوقات ينبغي لا توجد على الأرض. These like creatures should not be existing. You should not come across. I said, where this guy came from? Didn't he come from the street? Didn't he come from? He said, Sheikh, but is this going to be the same as the mall? I said, is it? Come on, be fair. Is this like look like the mall? Is what you see here the same thing you see the mall? That means you didn't go to mall. Or you don't know, you don't, يعني, it's sometimes people make taboo and sensitivity. And I think that attitude, in my opinion, cause more harm than good. In my opinion, make people more harm than good. It causes more harm to society than good. Anyway, so in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man came to him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, this hadith ibn Umar, this is beautiful. He said, Ya Rasulullah, if I, Umar radiallahu an, sorry, came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm fasting and I did something terrible. The Nabi said, what did you do? He said, I kissed my wife while I'm fasting. And we know in fasting, you should avoid sexual desires. Like the desire for food, you avoid the desire for sexual desire. I kissed her. Listen to what the Prophet said. قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِن تَمَضْمَضْتَ بِالْمَاءِ What do you think if you rinse your mouth with water? Would that harm you? He said, no. He said the same thing with the kissing. What's the analogy? When you drink water, where does the water goes first? To the mouth. Then if you push it, you drink. But if you spit it out, you didn't call it drinking. So putting the water inside your mouth is the intro to drinking. You will not be called drinking until you swallow the water. So the drinking in itself halal. The same thing with the kissing. The kissing is the intro to, if you're a gentleman, it's the intro to intimacy. That's right? So since this is the enter, you didn't yet reach what is haram. It's like the water in your mouth didn't reach yet what is consuming. So he said, the same. So since this allowed, this will be allowed. So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this beautiful analogy for Umar radiallahu anhu wa arda. That's why the majority of the fuqaha rahimahumullah ta'ala, like Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and Imam Ahmad and a long number of scholars in the past take that position. Another said, no, it is dislike for young or old. Why? The Maliki said that. Because Aisha said the Prophet was the one who controlled his desire the most. So since he's the one who controls desire the most, no one else can control it. So that's why we should not allow it. That's the Maliki's position. But to be honest with you, this can be refuted by saying that Umar did it. And a man said, Ya Rasulullah, what do you think of it? And he said, ask her. So that means the Nabi gave permission to other than him to, and he approved the kissing of other than him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why the Maliki position wouldn't be very strong. Even more stricter than the Maliki, those who said it is haram completely. And they didn't recognize this ahadith. Okay? And they said that there is one narration from one of the Sahaba said, somebody kissed, he said both broke their fast. But these narrations are weak and contradict the authentic ahadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Muslim and others. Some ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala, and that's a very famous madhab or a very famous opinion among some Hanafi, Shafi'i and Hanbali, qalu, and even Maliki, they said, we allowed it for old men but not for young men. A shab, the young man, not allowed. 20 years old, just got married? No. 18 years old, got married? No. They said no. But if you are old, like 70 years old, it's okay. No fear, yani, from you. They said, you know, 30, no. They basically start looking into that. Then what's the date exactly? They said it is. Why? Ibn Abbas said, ashab, it is okay. But the old man, the shab is not okay. قال لا, you're not allowed. And for the old man, he said, you can. But Ibn Abbas doesn't take that position. Ibn Abbas saw a young man telling him, he thought maybe if he opened this door, it's a fatwa designed for that particular case. You cannot generalize. I think it's much better to say, those who have control, because you might be 50 and your sexual desire is very high. And you might be 20s and you have very good control over yourself. So that's not true. And last year, Aisha, she was 18 years old when she was married to the Prophet ﷺ when he died. So she's still a young woman. This hadith, we learn from it the permissibility of kissing while you're fasting, controlling your desire, controlling your sexual desire, and al-mubashara, even hugging and holding hands and all this, it is permissible as long as the person control himself. Might somebody ask, what about if they will have foreplay, that it will lead to ejaculation, but without having intercourse, istimna, any masturbation or something like that? Would that will broke the person's fasting? The vast majority of the fuqaha said yes. الإمام الأربعة, the Shafi, the Hanafi, the Maliki, the Hanbali said absolutely yes. The only one who had different opinion is Ibn Hazm and Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala. They said it will not break the fast. Why? Because what is only not allowed is the intercourse. But if other than intercourse took place, even if it is in a form of masturbation to each other or for oneself, they said it will not break the fast. But I don't agree with that at all. Why? Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith Qudsi, قَدْ يَدَعُ شَهْوَتَهُ لِأَجْلِي. He leaves his desire, his sexual desire for me. And no doubt, when you reach the level of exhaust yourself to reach to the level of climax and to reach to the level of ejaculation, that's shahwa, that's fulfilling your desire. The fulfilling the desire is not just the penetrating. The soul fulfilling desire is when you reach that level that you ejaculate. So that's why Nabi in Hadith said, he leaves his sexual desire for me. He leaves his desire for food for me. So that's why I do believe that this is not Allah. But what about if someone kisses his wife, touches his wife? Some people, mashallah, like this touch screen, very sensitive. You know, some people, like, if he do that, will have some discharges comes out of them. Just for any regular touch. We call this midhi, if you remember. This will not invalidate your siyam, or your siyam will be valid. So what about wet dream? Wet dream will not invalidate your siyam, even if it happened during the daytime. Next hadith.
وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وهو محرم واحتجم وهو صائم.
عفوا. Ibn Hazm has a very interesting opinion. Not Ibn Hazm. Some of the fuqaha rahimahullah have very interesting opinion. They said that yes, قالوا Ibn Hazm rahimahullah. He said that al-qubla lil-sa'im mustahabba. They said it's recommended to kiss your wife while you're fasting. When I thought this is a very strange opinion, yani. You know, but the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do it as part of the ritual of the siyam to fast. It just instantly happened that he kissed while he's fasting. So I just want to show you how far some people can go. No. Some people said haram, some people mustahab. No.
وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وهو محرم واحتجم وهو صائم رواه البخاري. Narrated Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had himself cupped when he was wearing the ihram, and also when he was fasting, reported by Bukhari.
Yeah. Even though this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, it's one of the hadith that al-ulama rahimahumullah talked about. In relation, is that a statement from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu? Is that hadith, has Ibn Abbas or not? Because it was narrated without mentioning Ibn Abbas, was narrated as Mursal, like the successor said, the Prophet said, did, without mentioning Ibn Abbas at all in the middle. And we know the Mursal has, it's considered part of the week. Because of this difference of opinion, is really Ibn Abbas mentioning Abbas' name is correct or accurate or not? That led many ulama to criticize this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. That's why Imam Muslim never narrated this hadith in his Muslim. And he didn't do it because of this problem. And Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, also criticized this narration in particular because of this reason. And Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, da'afahu ayda. Imam Ahmad didn't accept it because he believed that this is a hadith mursal, is not from Ibn Abbas. But on the other hand, Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, reported it as a hadith from Ibn Abbas, mawsul through Ibn Abbas to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And At-Tirmidhi as well, and Ibn Hibban as well. That's why Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, comment on this debate, and he said, قال وهو حديث صحيح لا مرية فيه. We should not have a doubt about the authenticity of this narration. الحجامة, الحجم, it means حجمة, it means suck, when you suck something. So you like this. This حجمة in Arabic language. That's why we call the baby when he suckle from his mother حجمة ثدي أمي. يعني he is suckling from his mother's breast. That's why العرب يقولون مصاص الدماء. Have you ever heard, if you read in some Arabic dictionary or in books, they call مصاص الدماء, the blood sucker. Whose blood sucker? Dracula? Whose blood sucker? الحجام, the one who does حجامة, cupping. The one who does cupping, they call him blood sucker, because what he does, he suck your blood. You know how the cupping is. And I don't know if you guys seen cupping. I never did cupping except, I'm not sure. I did it once in England, so I don't remember now the England one how it was. But all my life, the hijama I did is just they bring a glass, and it has like a straw, and this straw covered, sealed with camel's skin. Anybody knows why camel's skin? Camel skins has something very unique. That's why camel never, if you know it's camel, they don't have big fur in their back, that's right? And they live in desert, very cold. If you, camel skin has a one way go through. So it goes this way, but it never comes back. So if the air, that's why it don't never fear the cold. So basically it's, if you do like this with the blood, no air will go through it to your wound. So that cup, basically empty. You suck all the air out. So when you suck it out, the air, you suck it out. That skin of the camel will not allow the air to come back into that cup. And the cup is against your head. So the more it came stuck more and more and more and more and more, and when he make these cuts in your head, so the blood will come because the pressure, okay, this empty, so high pressure, so it comes from your body into that cup because it's empty. That's how they do it. So they literally suck your blood like this. Anyway, so this hadith read the one next to it, Shaddad as well. Same meaning.
وعن شداد بن أوس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتى على رجل بالبقيع وهو يحتجم في رمضان فقال أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم رواه الخمسة إلا الترمذي وصححه أحمد وابن خزيمة وابن حبان. Narrated Shaddad bin Aus radiyallahu an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came across a man in al-Baqi' who was being cupped in Ramadan. He said, "The one who cups and the one who is cupped have broken their fast." Reported by Al-Khamsa, except Al-Tirmidhi, Ahmad ibn Khuzaymah and ibn Hibban graded it sahih.
So you look, these two hadith contradict each other. And Imam rahimahullah brought them so we can understand the fiqh of them. The first one says that Ibn Abbas, the Prophet made hijama while he's muhrim and while he's fasting. By the way, not in the same time. And it's not muhrim and fasting at the same time, like two different incidents. Okay? And this hadith shows it's permissible to have hijama while you are fasting. By the way, many ulama said that this particular in the hijama, the way when you suck the blood, but if you make a cut, like al-fast, let's say you have an area where there is like a bus or like the blood gather and you just want to make a cut to release the blood out, they said, you call this fast in Arabic language, it is will not break your fast. The only one that break the fast, al-hijama, which it means the cupping. That's the action that will only allow, consider one of the thing that break your fast or not. Anyway, so the first hadith shows the permissibility of doing hijama while you are fasting. The second one says that he saw, in Nabi, he was with the Prophet ﷺ, and he saw two people, one making hijama, one doing a cupping to another person. He said both have break their fast. This hadith, both break their fast. Yes, it's in not in al-Bukhari, but it's reported in the books of Sunan. And this hadith, there is a whole entire debate over its authenticity as well, because most of these narration that came in Hadith Shaddad was narrated by a large number of people, guys. This story narrated by many companions, 16 companions, narrated the same statement. The Prophet's Aftar al-Hajim al-Mahjum, the one who did the cupping and the cupping done too, both break their fast. 16 companions. That's why Suyuti qal hadha mutawatir. This hadith is mutawatir. But even with this, all the narrations, all these narrations, none of them is pure authentic narration. That's why Muslim lam yukhrij laha haditha wahida. Imam Muslim saw the ahadith and he left it all. And Abu Hatim al-Razi a'allaha, he said all has problems. None of them are acceptable. Yahya ibn Ma'in said none of them is, by itself, is a strong to be relied upon. So عندك إم. But others, like Ibn al-Madini, or Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, or Darimi, said it is acceptable. Even al-Bukhari himself. طيب. Who's that person that the Prophet ﷺ saw doing that? In another narration, it was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu wa arda. And it will come. And this is somebody was mentioned in Riwayat al-Darqutni rahimahullah ta'ala. And al-Iraqi wrote a book as well about the Mubhameen, the people who mentioned in the Isnad without mentioning their names. And he mentioned that this was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. It been said Ma'qil ibn Sinan. But Ja'far is more authentic. Some people said Shaddad ibn Aus, but that's wrong, because Shaddad Aus said, the Prophet, I'm holding my hand while walking. So impossible to be Shaddad, the one had the hijama happening to him, the cupping happening to him. Al-Baqi', we were walking in Al-Baqi'. A lot of people think Al-Baqi' is the cemetery. That's not accurate. Al-Baqi' is a neighborhood. Part of it was designated as a cemetery. It's like when we say Almeida. Does Almeida, all Almeida area is cemetery? No, but part of Almeida area, our cemetery. That's right? Same thing. So Al-Baqi' is the east side of the Masjid Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A small portion was taken and designated as cemetery. The first person who was ever buried there was Uthman ibn Mad'un. And the second person was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's son, Ibrahim. Okay. This is, shows how the Prophet ﷺ very nice holding the hand of Shaddad. And Nabi ﷺ, one thing about him, that he always tried to make people special, holding their hands, let them ride behind them. I know it may be here in our culture today in America, it sounds weird to hold a man's hand. That's something not acceptable culturally. But I remember one of my friends, the imam, one of the imams in Medina, we were in Los Angeles, and we were together, so walking, he's holding my hand. So I said, Sheikh, I don't think it's a very good idea to hold hand, like, especially in this city, you know? And he said, why? I said, because culturally here, when two men, especially wearing long dress like yours, looks like a dress, okay, hold hand with another man, kind of can be misunderstood. And he insisted, so I had to tell him what that could mean. Oh my God, he started laughing, then he started hugging me and kissing me too. I said, great. He just proved the point that you don't care about culture. Anyway, but the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make people special. Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he said, I looked at the people who used to ride with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the same camel or the same horse. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let people ride with him in the same camel. Why? To feel close. قَالْ فَوَجَدْتَ عَدَدْتُهُمْ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ أَرْبَعِينَ رَجُلًا I found more than 40 companions in the hadith. I was with the Prophet in the same camel. I ride with the Prophet in the same camel. I was with the Prophet riding with him. That shows you how close they are to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, so Anas radiallahu anhu said, he told us the story of Ja'far. He said, Al-Hijama was disliked for the fasting person because Ja'far ibn Abi Talib was doing hijama, was doing cupping while he's fasting. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him and he said, Aftara hadan, those have broken their fast. Okay? Then in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later on, listen, that's what Anas said. Then in Nabi later on said, it is permissible for you to do cupping. Okay? And that's why Anas used to do cupping while he is fasting. Reported by Dharqutni, and it is authentic. Tayyib. Al-Ulama rahimahullah said about cupping, I'm not going to get into details, but this is a good example to how to understand two texts contradict each other's kind of. Some ulama said, Al-Hijama, cupping, will not break your fast. It doesn't matter. You're the one who performing it or receiving it. And that's the majority of the companions, Ibn Mas'ud, Ibn Umar, Anas, Ibn Abbas, Abu Sa'id, Umm Salama, and the greatest among the successor, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, Urwa ibn Zubayr, the great imams, Ash-Shafi'i, Malik, Abu Hanifa, and Dawood al-Zahiri. And I can go on a long list of ulama, rahimahullah, took that position. Why? They said because Hadith ibn Abbas is later on came. Hadith ibn Abbas was a young companion, and Anas radiallahu anhu specifically said it was later on made allowed for people to do hijama, cupping. Also, Anas said, is it true that the Prophet ﷺ forbade hijama for the fasting person? Anas said, only because it might make you weak. So it is allowed, but if this is will cause you not to be able to fast or to be physically in danger, it's not allowed. So it has nothing to do with the cupping itself, it's the result. Anyway, if there is many ahadith, like hadith Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, and Nabi Sallam give a permission to have hijama for the fasting person. A permission, it means it used to be not allowed, then it became allowed. That's why all the ahadith that says not allowed was abrogated by the ahadith that it shows you it is permissible. Second opinion, they said no, the hijama will break the fast of the one who receiving it and the one who performing it. And that's the position of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and Ishaq ibn Rahaway and some of the Sahaba like Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abu Huraira, Aisha radiallahu anha. And they took the hadith of Aftar al-Hajim wal-Mahjum, that the person who performed hijama and received hijama are basically authentic. And you see Imam Ahmad didn't accept the authenticity of the hadith of Ibn Abbas. He doesn't believe it's authentic. So that's why he was left with one hadith which is forbade or shows that it is it will break the fast. طيب. Al-Ulama rahimahullah said the hadith that the person who performed hijama and received hijama made iftar can be understood in the same hadith when the Prophet said, those who backbite, the Prophet ﷺ passed by people, backbite. And he said, those have broke their fast. It means their fast ajr became less. So the hijama, make your ajr less. Okay? So that's how the ulama rahimahullah said. The third opinion, which is my position that I choose, which is the position of al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah and Ibn Sirin. They said it is dislike. Al-hijama is dislike, but it is permissible. It is allowed, but just not recommended. Some ulama rahimahullah said al-hijama break the fast of the person who receive it, not the one who perform it. Why the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who performed the hijama break his fast? They said because when you suck the blood, there is possibility the blood will go into your throat, so you break your fast. I always read that, but I never was convinced, because that accident, even if you swallow water by accident while you rinse your mouth for wudu, it will not break your fast. But it looks like Nabi said that as a form of punishment for the person. But again, he did not really do anything that break their fast. That's why it could be just reducing the ajr, and that will empower the opinion that it doesn't mean literally break their fast, but their fast is less ajr. By the way, Ibn Taymiyyah believed that hijama break the fast of the one who receive it, not the one who perform it. طيب. What I care about this the most is this. What about donating blood? What about donating blood? What about blood tests? How's the ruling in this? Blood test will not break your wudu. Blood test will not break your wudu. And donating blood, according to the opinion who said hijama will not break your break your fast. So blood test will not break your fast. But donating blood, that's a bigger quantity. Blood test is small, but donating blood. The ulama who said al-hijama will not break your fast, they will say donating blood will not break your fast. طيب al-hanabila who said it will break your fast, would they consider blood, donating blood, break the fast? I told you earlier, even those fuqaha said that it has to be cupping. If it's not cupping, it will not affect. So even according to those hanabila, they will not consider donating blood something to break the fast. And that's the fatwa of Sheikh al-Sheikh bin Baz and the scholar in Saudi Arabia, who most of them are Hanbalis. They don't consider donating blood something to break your fast, especially when it's needed. But you should not do that because it might make you way more dehydrated and it make you weak. And that's why it might be a better idea to avoid donating blood while you are fasting. The last thing that I want to end with, there is a hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned it, that he put kuhul. Well, how he translate kuhul? Just kuhul, he didn't. Kuhul, it's like a type of mascara type, but for men, not for women. They used to put it in their eyes in the old days. In some culture, they still do that. It comes from a very famous rock. It's called Ithmid. And I want to make a point for those who travel to Saudi Arabia. And they see in many places, they sell Ithmid. Or in certain countries in Pakistan and some places, they sell something called Ithmid. It's a rock. They break the rock. And this Ithmid is supposed to be something that people in the old days, they used to put it around their eyes. Many of these rocks that sell on the market are not true, ithmid. So that's natural stone, is very rare. And most of what you see in the market are just something made of. And even I saw some reports from doctors and pharmacists saying that it is not safe to use it. So a lot of people use the religion to make their person very popular. So be very careful when you use that. But anyway, in Nabi Sallallahu put that kuhul, that's a type of mascara, in his eyes, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, while he's fasting. So that shows you that anything above the skin that you use, it will not break the fast. So fasting will be broken if you consume something into your stomach. That's why we say consuming something to the lungs, and I mean by that, that's why we said inhaler, for example, will not break your fast. But if you put something inside your stomach or go through your blood, like the IV, it take the same ruling of eating and drinking, that will break the fast that person need to make up this day later on. But anything above the skin, like creams or, you know, makeup, will not break the fast. Anything like inhalers will not break your fast. Any insulin, any shots, it will not break your fast. Drops, like no ear drops or eye drops, will not break your fast because that's not how you drink or you eat. So those people who need this kind of medication, they are allowed to use it like the shots that I said earlier. Anyway, that's, I know it's been very long. I kept you guys for a very long time. So next week, inshallah, we might have a class on Wednesday. So we will have Wednesday and the weekend as well. So inshallah, Wednesday is 5:30. How's that sound? Can you guys make it Wednesday 5:30? Hard? 5:30? Wednesday? How about tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow is off. Tomorrow. We'll do tomorrow, 5:30, inshallah. Very good. Yes? The Quran class will be available as well. Do you have a question from the online?
Yes.
Okay.
A friend has sent an ad. Is it mandatory to have completed all the fasts of Ramadan in order to fast during the 1 week of Rajab?
Oh, Shawwal.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. If you miss days in Ramadan and you want to fast the 6 days of Shawwal, do you have to make up all the days that you missed in Ramadan first before you do the 6 days in the following month? The majority of the Muslim scholars said yes. I really don't go with that opinion because I think you can make them up in any time in the year and you still can make the 6 days of Shawwal as well. So I would say you can do the 6 days Shawwal and you can make the up the days later on. But if you want my advice, do this, the days of Ramadan as soon as you can. They are more important than fasting 6 days in Shawwal. Yes. Can you combine the intention? No, you can't. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, if you fast Ramadan and you follow it with six, you add six to Ramadan. So Ramadan and 6 days, it's equal to fasting the whole year. And another narration he said, 30 days, like 300 days, 10 times double each day, and 6 days double 10, that will make it 60, 360 days. But if you do the intention, both, you don't get it 360 days. Anybody else? Oh, I see some guests. Welcome to our center. Thank you guys for coming. And I hope you guys stay with us until the time of breaking the fast.